sun has set, the darkness deepens, and the world awaits midnight. Good evening. This is your host, Graves. Did you miss me? Yes, I've been away. I took one of those luxury cruises. The accommodations were splendid. The best packing crate in hold number one. It was quite dark down there. But then I did most of my frolicking at night anyway. I met a lovely young couple on their honeymoon. We had such a good time until they were drowned in their stateroom. Wonder who could have left their porthole open during that storm. But I had such fun, marvelous food, mostly fish, marvelous entertainment, mostly funerals. Marvelous companions, mostly dead. Oh, that's right, I forgot to mention. It was a cruise for morticians. But enough of my watery wanderings. Let's get on to tonight's story. While we're on the subject of the sea, tonight's story is about a submarine crew that gets in over its head. The crew of the USS Grouper is about to embark on a very unusual adventure, one that even they don't expect. Our story is called Mitosis.
Aye?
Patroni, sir.
Come in.
Message from Subcom, sir.
Oh, what's it say?
Captain Herbeck, you know I never read your messages.
Patroni, if I really believed that, I'd be prime material for a Section 8. In my 27 years in the Navy, I haven't yet met the yeoman who could resist any message labeled priority for captain's eyes only. Now, what's it say?
Subfleet Command just giving you your orders to begin tests on Dr. Ricker's new propulsion system tomorrow, as scheduled.
Very well, thank you, Patroni.
Captain.
Yes?
Well, sir, Scuttlebutt has it that you don't agree with Dr. Ricker.
No? On what subject?
Whether submarines need a whole new system of propulsion and maneuvering control. You being in subs for so many years, most of the crew kind of figure you resent it.
How so?
Well, some of us overhear you and Dr. Ricker arguing about it. Loud sometime.
Yeoman, Dave Ricker and I go back a long time. He and I were old friends when he designed the first automatic depth finder for subs. He and I don't argue. We, debate. Loud sometimes.
Yes, sir. But you don't agree with him, do you?
Let me put it this way. I'm leery of any new inventions until they're well proven and tested.
Begging your pardon, sir, but isn't that why we're out here?
Touché, Patroni. Well, pass the word. Tests on Dr. Ricker's equipment will begin at 0800.
Aye, sir. May I come in?
Of course, Dave.
I was curious if the words come through about the test.
Oh, I believe so. Hasn't it, Yeoman?
Captain. Dr. Ricker, test scheduled to begin tomorrow at 0800.
That'll be all, Patroni.
Aye, sir.
Bright lad. Seems to know a lot.
Usually before I do.
Hmm?
Oh, never mind. Well, tomorrow's your big day, eh?
Yes, and none too soon. Boone's been pestering me every half hour. Wants to know exactly when the testing area has been reached.
Sounds like her. She's only been aboard as observer a few days, and she's already under everybody's skin.
Well, she's not Navy. I suppose career men get a little short with someone from the Pentagon instead of someone who's been on the ship.
If she could forget that she's the up-and-coming liaison officer, she might make some friends.
I don't think making friends is part of her timetable.
Hmm?
She mentioned to me, in an unguarded moment, that she considers this week aboard the Grouper of cosmic importance. Nothing must get in her way of completing her assignment.
Just observing some routine tests isn't exactly of cosmic importance.
Well, apparently it is to her. She obviously has some higher-ups on her back. She says she's got to keep us from straying from the test area for 3 days we're scheduled to be there.
And if that means alienating everyone on board, she says, I'll do it.
Well, she's getting her wish. And if it weren't for your experimental propulsion system, she wouldn't have the chance.
We've been through that before.
Oh, damn it. What's wrong with the propellers and dive planes? They've been making submarines go up and down, forward and backward for 200 years.
That's true, but technology marches on. The new generation of sub-launch missiles need a better system of positioning. And besides, with world conditions as they are, we don't want to be a second-class navy.
Yeah, I know.
The Eastern powers have been working on just such a maneuvering control for their missile subs. We can't let them develop better systems than we have.
I know. The balance of power, right? Avoid war by keeping the whole world equally armed.
That's the philosophy.
Yeah. Well, I can't help thinking, what are we really accomplishing? With our weapon systems getting so sophisticated, we may balance ourselves right out of existence. Yeah?
Boom, Captain.
Oh, swell.
Ray, your chauvinism is showing.
Me? Not on your life. In my command, every person, whether military or civilian, is of equal status, equal worth.
Captain?
Come in, damn it!
Captain Herbert, Dr. Ricker.
I dispense with the roll call, Boone. What do you want?
I came to find out if you'd heard from Subfleet Command on the status of Dr. Ricker's tests, now that we've reached the testing area.
Well, as a matter of fact...
I think a message did come through a while ago.
From Subfleet Command?
I think so.
Aren't you certain?
Well, I think Yeoman Petroni did mention something about a message from Subcommand.
About the tests.
Tests?
Dr. Ricker's tests.
Oh! Tests?
Yes. Was the message about the tests?
Yes, I think Petroni said the message was about the tests.
You let a yeoman read priority messages?
I don't let him read them. By the time I get them, he's usually read them already. In fact, in this case...
Captain Herbeck! Sir, was the message about the tests of Dr. Ricker's equipment?
Yes, Boone. Tests scheduled for 0800 hours tomorrow.
Captain Herbeck, I must protest your conduct toward me. I may be a civilian aboard your vessel, but I do represent the Pentagon, and your lack of respect for me...
Calm down, Boone.
Captain?
What is it, Petroni?
Another message from Subcom, sir.
Mind if he reads it, Boone?
Now, Ray.
Go ahead, Yeoman.
Aye, aye, sir. To Captain Herbeck, USS Grouper, from Subcom. Reports of unusual seismic disturbance on ocean floor, 200 miles south-southeast your position. Proceed to 22 degrees 45 minutes north, 42 degrees 30 minutes west. Report on conditions.
Does that mean we have to leave this area?
Yes, Boone.
How long will that take?
Probably 2 days.
What about the tests?
Message says to postpone tests as necessary, ma'am.
What?
Sir. Ma'am, sir, that is...
Well, I suppose another couple of days isn't going to hurt things.
But the schedule calls for us to be here tomorrow.
Sorry, we won't be.
But we have to be.
I beg your pardon. Why?
Because that's the schedule.
Not anymore, Boone.
This is outrageous. Captain, you must remain here and proceed with Dr. Ricker's test.
Boone, not only do you lack the authority to countermand subcom orders, you haven't got any right to overrule me. Control room, this is the captain.
Control room, aye.
Set new course. Come about to 116 degrees. All ahead standard.
Aye, sir.
And that, as they say, Boone, is that.
North, 4230 west, sir. 200 feet.
Very well. Any evidence of quake activity since we entered the area?
No, sir. All quiet.
All right. We'll cruise around at this depth a while, give it a chance to happen, if it's going to.
Are we going to test Dr. Ricker's equipment here, sir?
Negative. Remain on conventional power and maneuvering.
Aye, sir.
Aye, aye, Chief.
Find the source of the disturbance, Ray.
No, we'll spend a little time here, though, just to make sure.
How much time, Captain?
Well, at least 48 hours. If nothing happens in that time, we can assume the trouble's over.
And
report back to the test area.
An awful lot of trouble justifying some stupid earthquake.
Oh, no earthquake is stupid. Seismic disturbances in the ocean floor can cause tidal waves, shifts in current, even damage to land if the forces are strong enough.
In any case, we are here to check the severity of the quake activity and issue warnings to ships in the area if need be.
Besides, measuring devices aboard the sub can plot displacement waves, creating a graphic picture of the seismic forces. And that's necessary if we're to understand and someday predict seismic activity on land.
All very scientific, Doctor. But it still adds up to 24 hours wasted.
That's your opinion, Boone.
24 hours, Captain. Aye, aye, then we return.
Sometimes I wonder if Boone is with us or against us.
Well, whatever she's for or against, she's cruising for a scuttling.
She's a strange girl, Ray. Very strange.
Any activity, Lee?
Negative. Quiet for nearly 26 hours. We've been over the area three times and haven't found a thing. I guess that quake was a one-shot deal.
Well, I'm beginning to agree with you. Let's take one final sweep and then call off the search.
Not so fast, Captain.
What do you want, Boone?
You've had your 24 hours, Captain.
I'm afraid I must agree, Ray. If nothing's happened for this long, the seismic activity must be over.
So we must head back for the test area.
All right. Come left to 030, Lee. All ahead full.
Aye, sir.
Should be back in about 7 hours, Boone, and then we'll...
What's that? It's another quake!
Hang on. Quake activity 2 points off the starboard bow, sir. About 3,000 feet down. It measuring 6.3.
Surface. We'll have a better chance of riding it out up there.
Aye, sir.
Will the sub take it?
Probably, but I'd rather be on the surface.
Captain, trouble with a forward dive plane.
Say again.
They seem to be jammed while we're not heading up.
All ahead emergency. Blow all ballast tanks. Pull up the plane.
Aye, sir.
What is it?
I don't know. Maybe currents from the quake are interfering with the dive planes.
All up, sir, but the ship's not responding. We're going down, like we're being sucked toward the bottom.
Could be the quake is creating a subsurface whirlpool, and we're caught in it.
But we're not circling, just being pulled down.
Lee, pull up on the planes and come right to 160 degrees. Maybe we can get out sideways.
Aye, Captain. Ray, what about my new system? It might get us out.
Or send us straight to the bottom. I'll stick to the old equipment for now.
160 degrees, sir.
How's it doing?
Descent slowing. Lateral wash increasing. We've regained control.
We still have the currents to contend with.
We've broken free. Heading up, sir.
Can we get to the surface?
I think so, sir. It'll be a rough trip.
It's one we've got to take. Full up bubbles.
Aye, sir.
Looks like your maneuver worked, Captain.
Just lucky. We've still got a bumpy ride to the surface. Hang on.
To Subcom from R.A. Herbeck, USS Grouper. Message, Grouper caught in grip of undersea quake measuring 7.3. All conventional power necessary to pull free. Origin of seismic activity unknown, but very powerful. Warn all nearby vessels to avoid area. Awaiting further orders, Herbeck. Send that right away, Sparks.
Ray.
Yeah.
That was quite a feat of maneuvering, getting us out of that and back to the surface in one piece.
Took every ounce of power we had and full drag on the dive planes. At that, we almost didn't make it.
Would have been a great opportunity to see if my new system would have been more effective.
No offense, Dave, but cutting out our conventional systems to experiment with yours might have sunk us.
You're right, of course.
And I hope we never get a chance to test them like that again.
Captain!
Boone, what are you doing in my cabin?
Captain, I must insist that you set course back to the test area immediately.
Miss Boone, Captain Herbeck just pulled us out of a crisis that could have cost us the ship and our lives.
That may or may not be true, Doctor. In any case, the disturbance is over, and it is imperative that we return to the test area.
Imperative? What do you mean?
Well, my report to Washington is due in 3 days. Since the tests will undoubtedly take 2 days, it leaves me very little time to get my mission accomplished.
Boone, I want to test that equipment as much as you do.
You don't need to defend me, Dave. I can take care of myself with the likes of this Washington wonder.
Now, see here, Captain.
No, you see here, Boone. You may think that having bureaucrats behind you makes you a big cheese, but when my ship's in trouble, nobody tells me what to do.
Captain!
And even if you had the authority you wish you had, you'd get command of this ship over my dead body. Now, I'm ordering you out of my cabin and restricting you to your quarters until we return to the testing area, which won't happen until Subfleet Command orders us to. Now get out!
Captain Herbeck, if you don't get this sub away from here, now, you will suffer the consequences.
Wonder what she meant by that.
I really don't care.
Ray, as much as you dislike Boone, she's not the person to get on the wrong side of. She's got friends in the Navy Department and the Pentagon. I saw her orders. They're from high up.
Dave, when bureaucrats and dilettantes like her start running the Navy, I'll take my pension and retire to a desert island.
Well, you better find an out-of-the-way island far from everything. Because after that speech you just made her, she's liable to find that island and use it for target practice.
Come.
Answer to your message from SubCom, sir.
Thank you, Petroni. Have warned shipping of danger. Remain in area until all seismic activity ceases. If safe, try to pinpoint exact center of quake area, but take no chances with safety of ship or crew. Well, there it is, Dave. There's the answer to Boone's case.
Seems like.
Control room.
Aye, sir.
Head for center of quake area.
Again, sir?
Again, Commander, but stay on the surface. Be ready to pull out fast.
Aye, sir.
Any reading on another quake, Lee?
No, sir. Quiet for almost 15 hours.
Every hour it stays quiet adds fuel to Boone's fire, Ray.
I know. But SubCom ordered us to stay in the area till the activity stopped, and that leaves it to me to decide.
Here it comes, sir!
Be ready to get out fast, Lee.
Aye, sir!
Any readings on the epicenter?
It looks to be right below us, sir, but it seems to be stretching. He's getting longer along a 98-degree line, like a long fissure opening up on the bottom. It's happening again, sir. We're being pulled down.
How could we? On the surface, we'd just be...
Beast me, sir, but here we go. We're leaving the surface.
All engines ahead. Flank. Pull up on the plane.
Aye, sir.
The same force is pulling us down.
Mapping shows the fish are getting longer and wider, sir. We're being pulled right for the middle.
Pull up, Bubble. Head out sideways.
We are, sir. It's not working this time.
Ray, let me use my equipment. Maybe it can pull us out this time.
No, Dave. I told you this is no time to experiment.
I say 500 feet, sir. We're still descending.
All right, Dave. Go rev it up. Our systems aren't working. Maybe this is just a test your new gadgets need.
Right. Ready in 2 minutes. 700 feet and still descending, sir.
What does mapping show?
It's impossible, sir. There's no sign of hitting bottom for 2,000 feet.
That can't be. It's not that deep here.
Aye, sir. It's like a big hole's opening in the bottom. It is swallowing us.
Save the hyperbole, Commander. Keep calling out depth figures. All engines at full emergency power.
Record a bridge.
Bridge, aye.
Ready in 30 seconds.
Okay, Dave. I hope it's soon enough.
900 feet, sir.
How can it be so deep?
1,000. Descending faster now.
Ready, Ray.
Okay, let her rip. Any good?
Can't tell yet. Yes, beginning to slow, but not much.
How deep?
Approaching crush depth, sir.
Dave, give it everything it's got.
I am. I can't keep this up too long. Not in the parameters of the test. Full power for emergency only.
This is an emergency, damn it!
Got to power down soon.
Can't. If we don't keep up full power, we'll never break free from the pull.
We've got to, sir. If we don't, we'll be sucked down who knows how far.
That's it, Ray. The equipment's overloaded. It's dead.
Sinking speed increasing, sir. What do we do?
Do you need my help, Captain?
Boone! What are you doing on the bridge? I can find you to your quarters.
I know. But you need my assistance, Captain. Just as you did the first time.
What are you talking about?
I warned you that if you didn't leave this area, you would suffer the consequences. I prevented your ship from being lost in the first occurrence to give you time to heed my warning. You did not.
Boone, I haven't got time to listen to your babbling. I've got a crisis on my hands.
I know, but not the one you think.
What do you mean?
Your commander was quite accurate when he said a huge hole was opening on the ocean floor. For that, in essence, is what is happening. In point of fact, your world is splitting in two. This is merely the beginning of a fissure that will soon encircle the globe, separating your planet into two parts.
You're crazy! Or are you? What have you got to do with this?
We caused it.
We?
You of this world would have eventually destroyed yourselves, and much of the surrounding space besides.
Of this world? What are you...
Like small children trying to outdo each other, You have insisted on building bigger and better ways of destroying each other. And you are on the threshold of using the space around your world as a platform to launch your vehicles of annihilation.
We're passing crash depth, sir!
Boone, I can't stand here listening to you. I've got to save this ship.
You cannot.
Halt!
No more than you saved it the first time. Your submarine was caught in the widening rift in your planet. I tried to keep you away from here, to keep you safe from being caught in the split. You refused to listen to reason. I could leave you here as a punishment for not heeding my warnings. But we of my world are not vengeful creatures. I shall rescue you once more.
Sinking, slowing, sir! Descent decreasing! We're heading back up, and just in time! Boone, I don't understand this.
You are being returned to the surface of your planet, Captain. But not the world you knew. We have split your planet in two. We decided to resolve your world's petty jealousies by taking you out of each other's reach. What you refer to as the East will have its own hemisphere to play with, separated from the West by thousands of miles of space. Your two half-planets shall circle your sun as before, but far enough away from each other to avoid conflict. At least until you acquire the maturity to respect each other's way of life.
Boone, why are you doing this? Why not let us destroy ourselves and be done with us?
The people of our world were not as fortunate as you, Captain. We followed much the same path as you have. But we took things too far. Our planet was a burned-out cinder for centuries before those who survived rebuilt it and determined to save other worlds from the same fate. I suggest you take your retirement, Captain, as you threatened to do. Your new world should have no need for vehicles of aggression like this, or the men necessary to command them.
Closing on the surface, sir! Looks like we're out of it!
My mission is complete, Captain. I must return to my home planet, a place you call Earth. Farewell.
Ray, we're heading up. My system must have reversed our descent just before it went out. My equipment worked.
I don't think so, Dave. I think Boone had something to do with it.
Boone? Who's Boone? Crane, you know anything about a Boone?
No, sir.
Never mind. I guess I just imagined her. Interesting girl, though. Had a lot of spunk.
Huh?
Oh, nothing. Guess I'm just getting old. Maybe I should retire at that. Know any out-of-the-way islands?
Ray, what are you talking about?
Never mind. Break the surface, Lee. Set course for home base.
Just my type. Really out of this world. I wonder if she's good at cutting people in two as well as planets. Ah, well, I guess a romance with her just isn't in the stars.
Mitropas was written and directed by Roger Rittner. Featured in the cast were Enid Sloan, Arthur Dutch, Celia Stossner, and Michael Cobble. Also heard were Michael Vernon and Bob Farr. Sound effects by David Searchy. Production assistance by Bonna Newman. Engineering by Gil Jones. Midnight is a Roger Rittner radio production. Now, until next time, this is your host, Graves, reminding you that wherever you are, it may not be midnight now, but it soon will be. Next time, a genial drunkard starts seeing little men, and the little men threaten to take over the earth. Don't miss My Cup Runneth Over, next on Midnight.
Midnight is produced with funds provided by Transamerica Occidental Life Insurance Company and by the Society to Preserve and Encourage Radio Drama, Variety, and Comedy. Funds for NPR Playhouse are provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is NPR, National Public Radio.